Dan bertemu kembali untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan kadar inflasi dan juga faedah The Fed serta berkenaan dengan keputusan WTO Amerika dan juga China serta kenyataan OECD berkenaan dengan pertumbuhan ekonomi pada tahun ini. Kita bersama dengan Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi GYIQI. Shan, I think first of all, let's look at the announcement by The Fed. Let's talk about that. What do you make of that? The Fed has also revised the growth for the US to about 3.7% this year as opposed to the negative 6%, negative 3.7% this year, as opposed to the negative 6% that was announced in June. This is looking a bit better. But moving forward, what do you make of it?
I think we have witnessed for the last 11 years, they have not been able to achieve the 2% inflation rate. Mm-hmm. So Fed has to, you know, change its policy instrument or, you know, the economic outlook. So I think this is the right strategy, you know, focus on economy rather than targeting on inflation. Why inflation is not touching 2%? Because the aggregate demand is not there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have lost their jobs. So how can you expect, you know, to have inflation of 2%? They are trying, but I think they won't be able to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make of the interest rate that is expected to remain low, to remain at zero to about 0.25% until 2022, 2023, 2024? Economists expecting this to be a bit longer than what they initially expected. What do you make of that?
Absolutely. We have been sharing since last year that U.S. will have L-shaped recession. A lot of pundits and gurus were saying that U.S. will have V-shaped recession or U-shaped recession because economy has not been able to, you know, to perform better. Mm-hmm. And this statement clearly reflects that, you know, the economy is in a long haul, you know. Mm-hmm. So previously we were expecting the U.S., the Fed will not increase interest rate by 2022, but now it's 23. So it means the economy is not gaining strength, the problems are much deeper, and it will take much longer. If you see the latest issue of Economist magazine, where they have mentioned countries like South Korea, Singapore, U.S., Russia, South Africa, Mexico, Chile, they won't be able to achieve growth before 2024. So we are in for a long haul. The statement is very clear. US dollar will stay weaker as we move along. At the start of the year, we said the US dollar will have, you know, tail end risk that will continue, and we can expect a lot of volatility going forward.
But let's stay on that for a bit, because I think the Fed is also expecting growth to be at about 4% in 2021 and about 3% in 2022. Do you think that's achievable?
That's too optimistic. I think taking into account 40 million people have lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. So how can you, you know, turn around the situation in a year's time? I don't expect U.S. economy will have a growth for next year or even for year after 2022. I expect U.S. will have a growth in 2024, not before that.
This low period of low interest rates, how will it affect commodities? How will it affect asset prices?
I think if you see, historically speaking, you know, whenever U.S. dollar has stayed low, commodity prices have gone up. Mm-hmm. And as you rightly said, we are heading towards more lower interest rate regime. Globally, 47 central banks have lowered the interest rate. Mm-hmm. Nobody is raising interest rate because economies can't take the pressure of higher interest rates. So I think commodity prices will go up. Look at gold. It is up by 30%. Mm-hmm. Look at silver, up by 60%. So I think moving forward, we expect the commodity prices to go up, and they will have more attraction for those sophisticated and smart investors.
And asset prices as well?
Asset prices, the main concern is Fed has distorted the market. Mm-hmm. So if the real growth is not coming back, we can expect asset price inflation moving much higher, and it will create more volatility. There's a big disconnect between the real economy and the valuation. So valuations are not based on reality. It is driven by the Fed.
I think you sent something to me earlier that the S&P 500 index is overvalued at 27 times current earnings after the spectacular bungee jump since the March panic and the Fed's monetary largesse. Share with us this discrepancy between the stock markets and also what is happening in the real economy in the US. The Fed is continuing its purchase of the treasury and also asset mortgage-backed bills or assets. How is this affecting one another?
The real economy is not doing good.
Yeah.
In US, everybody's investing. You know, it's not just the Americans. So what the investors are looking at, you know, the Fed is coming into the play. So when Fed is there, when the big global player is entering into the equity market, investors follow that. Mm-hmm. So those sophisticated and smart investors, they always follow those big players who are entering. So right now, Fed is, you know, driving the equity market. That's why equity markets are all-time high. And mm-hmm. if you see S&P 500, 31% of that share comes from the tech stocks. Mm-hmm. And tech stocks hold around $33.7 trillion, mm-hmm. the market cap. And tech stocks have been doing pretty well as compared to energy stocks or, for that matter, banks. So I think the markets are not based on reality. This will continue to go on. We can expect rally going up for 1 week and then it will go down. And investors can have, you know, some very nervous times.
So these tools used by the Fed, will it trickle down to the main street?
Absolutely
in the US?
Not. Absolutely. The common man, the man on the street, is not benefiting. Mm. It's only the very few people who are investing in US stocks or maybe in some other asset classes, they are benefiting. But man on the street, he is having economic repression, you know, he is suffering and they are feeling the pressure. And moving forward, as I said, you know, Fed is doing two risks, you know. Mm. One is inflation and the other is deflation. So we are heading for deflation in the short run and inflation in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a bit more, because I think it's interesting to see, because we keep paying attention on what the Fed is saying, how the Fed is doing all this to ensure that credit flow to households and businesses is okay right now, to ensure the growth of the US economy, increasing economic activities, ensuring unemployment. Is this happening? Is this really happening? This credit flow to households, to businesses in the US?
The credit is down. The credit uh-huh. is down. The credit is not up. Banks are not lending as aggressively as they used to be. So I think overall, the credit cycle is not that strong. Mm-hmm. So when the credit cycle is not strong, it affects, you know, the companies. And we have to see moving forward about the earnings. Mm-hmm. As I said, there's a huge disconnect between corporates and the real economy. Mm-hmm. If the corporates are not earning, obviously, you know, the stock market will go down. Mm-hmm. And Fed is continuing to distort that market. Mm-hmm. So the concern that I have sharing with you, the asset price inflation, if it goes up and it is already turning into a bubble, mm-hmm. so that will create a very ugly situation moving forward. Mm-hmm. I don't see that, you know, this stock market rally is sustainable. This could turn into a huge bedlam and pandemonium moving forward.
This latest announcement by the Fed, how will it affect emerging markets, including Malaysia?
Emerging markets will tend to benefit. If you see from 2008 onwards, when Fed started this QE, the extra dollars have moved into emerging markets. Emerging markets have benefited from those QE and helicopter money. Mm-hmm. So I think emerging markets like Malaysia and others, they will tend to benefit from these extra dollars that are being printed by Fed, and investors will reallocate their funds to this part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the dollar outlook. I know you mentioned earlier about the tail end of the risk at the start of the year. Tell us more about that.
I think at the start of the year, we mentioned and we sent a newsletter to our clients that US dollar will stay weaker. The premise was very simple. It's an election year. Trump is following the playbook of Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. So moving forward, as Fed today has announced, it proves that US dollar will stay weaker. If you see this year, US dollar has lost 5 to 8% of its value against basket of currencies, that is pound, Chinese yuan, mm-hmm. Swiss franc, and euro. So I think we expect US dollar to stay low, not only for this year, but also for this year. So this creates a very nervous situation, especially for those equity and bond investors, mm-hmm. because they don't really hedge themselves against the currency risk. Mm-hmm. And once the currency risk comes into this, in these asset classes, obviously investors are not prepared. So I think moving forward, investors, they need to prepare for the US dollar tail end risk, mm-hmm. and it will go very deep into these asset classes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this is an election year, and we know that the announcement by the Fed yesterday or earlier today was the last one before the election. Do you think it's enough to condition America and to set the economy moving into the election in November?
I think the main word is confidence. Mm-hmm. The confidence is not coming back into the economy. The only country that is moving, or which is driving the global economy, is China. At the start of the year, everybody was saying China is going to collapse, China won't come back into the market. By May, China already recorded a trade surplus. Mm-hmm. So as China is moving, when other countries like ASEAN, Asia, these are the countries that would be driving the growth, not the US. Mm-hmm. For US, the huge challenge is the word confidence, mm-hmm. even for that matter, Europe and for Japan.
Speaking of confidence, let's talk about the stimulus package that Congress has yet to announce. Will that maybe create confidence in the U.S.? Because I think we spoke about how the main streets in the U.S. are not benefiting from what, or benefiting less from what has been announced by the Fed. So do you think if we look at the fiscal stimulus by Congress announcing really, really soon, would that probably increase confidence among consumers, households, businesses in the U.S.?
It gives money in the short run to consumers, but mm-hmm. it is not sustainable. Right now, it is not sure whether it will be passed or not, because there's a huge bickering going on between the Republicans and the Democrats. And it's always been a total shenanigan in the last 1 year or so. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a short-run move. The real problem with U.S. is productivity. Mm-hmm. They don't have the real productivity. When you don't have the real productivity, when people are not contributing to the economy, these all, I would call window dressing measures, won't help the economy in the long run. Mm-hmm.
And OECD has also stated that, or revised its outlook for the global growth this year to negative 4.5% from negative 6%. It's a bit, they're saying that the fallout from COVID-19 is not as bad as they thought it was before this. And they said that this decrease of 4.5% can wipe out about $7 trillion from the global economy. This negative 4.5%, do you think is a bit optimistic, or do you think it's achievable?
I think it's very optimistic. Global mm-hmm. economy will continue to stay low. Mm-hmm. It will take much longer. We are not expecting global economy to come back into the growth mode before 2022. Mm-hmm. So I think the figures that OECD is giving, I don't know how they came up with these figures. I don't follow OECD because they are irrelevant. World Bank is irrelevant. IMF is irrelevant. So those sophisticated and smart investors, they want pragmatic approach. What mm-hmm. is on the ground information? So I think if you follow Economist magazine, they are quite pragmatic. Mm-hmm. They are saying the global economy will come into the growth mode after 2022.
But looking at the progress with regards to the vaccine, and I think some countries are beginning to know how to manage COVID-19 cases, do you think there's hope for global economy to move forward faster, to recover faster going into 2021?
Everybody is expecting the vaccine to come out. Let's see, premature to say. Everybody is now saying that by January the vaccine should be out. But you never know. But it will take much longer, I would say.
What do you make of the WTO ruling that that US is in the wrong for imposing $200 billion worth of tariffs on Chinese products?
I think they should have woken up by 2018, but they were still sleeping. And now in 2020, they are saying, US did it wrong. I think China, it was not China, it was US that started it. Mm. So I think now the WTO is saying that US and China should have mutual trade relationship, that should be beneficial. I think these statements are irrelevant. US and China should resolve. As I said, China will be calling the shots, mm-hmm. and they will decide the time and date when to end this trade war.
Why?
Because they are holding the purchasing power. They are holding the shots. The U.S. is not in a position in terms of, economic or financial outlook. And China is still much stronger as compared to U.S.
But we're seeing in the media that U.S. is seen to be in control, imposing tariffs, setting out when the trade deal is going to be moved forward or to be signed. The U.S. seems to be in control as opposed to what you said earlier.
They have been, putting all the tariffs on China, but China has been holding off pretty well, and they mm-hmm. have been moving forward. They have come up with much better strategy, economic strategy, and they're moving to different economic losses. They are still exporting to US. US is still importing. Mm-hmm. So I think this trade war might end by 2022, not before that.
Do you think it could escalate further because of the ruling by the WTO?
Absolutely. I think it will escalate much further. We expect the chip industry to have sanctions. Moving forward, the banks, the Chinese bank, might face similar sanctions from the US.
I think let's just come back to the statement issued by OECD. OECD stated briefly before we end this interview that stimulus or fiscal stimulus should not be removed too soon, or else it will impede or it will disrupt growth and recovery. Many countries, because of the constraint to its coffers, are ending the fiscal stimulus really, really soon, or some have ended even in the US, say, for example, the unemployment benefit. The OECD is recommending that. What do you make of that?
I think absolutely you cannot have austerity in these turbulent times. You need to have fiscal policy and monetary policy. And obviously, globally, the governments are under a lot of pressure because you can go a certain limit with the monetary policy, but ultimately, you need to have an amalgamation of monetary policy and fiscal policy to drive the growth and to have confidence back in the economy.
Thank you very much, Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Jua IQM, membincangkan berkenaan dengan kadar inflasi dan juga faedah di Amerika Syarikat, keputusan WTO ke atas Amerika serta unjuran pertumbuhan ekonomi oleh OECD. Teruskan bersama kami, Astro Awani, Berita Sekundang Dimensi. Saya Rizal Zulkapli, salam hormat.